to address this all before we come to Parliament and have these issues like this. Chairperson, it's an progress report. These have to be tabled on a semi-monthly basis by the Commission in terms of the Matters Act. I just want to refer you to the Fonskalkwyk matter, the Ole matter and the Malashlele matter. Those three matters. I took us to the High Court for various reasons. This Fonskalkwyk is checking the validity of the regulations for judicial officers to the High Court, the validity of that, and they filed a motion, an application to set aside the regulations. This matter is not pending, and the misconduct inquiry has been postponed for the 4th of November. Of course, we are opposing this application, and the state attorney is kept abreast of all developments. The officer being the evidence is now been appointed a member of the commission, and he is requested to be excused, so the matter is before the full commission next week on Friday to appoint a new officer being evidence. That is with regard to the Fonskalkwyk matter.
Thank you. I think we'll have to proceed on it.
May I suggest that please proceed with Hawley?
Yes, sir.
He also took the decision of the Commission to appoint a regional magistrate, which is his peer, also to the High Court. He also applied for a review of the fact that the presiding officer refused to recuse himself on the proceedings in the misconduct inquiry. That matter is still pending before the High Court. The state attorney has been instructed on the direction of the Magistrates Commission, which took a resolution on the 27th of November 2015 to proceed with the pending inquiries unless instructed by the High Court to do so. So we proceeded with the Hawley matter in his absence. This was last week, and the matter is postponed to June somewhere. So in June to proceed. So we're proceeding with the disciplinary inquiry in his absence, despite the fact that there's a High Court matter pending. And we are of the view that he is deliberately delaying the disciplinary process. With regard to Ms. Malashlele, Chairperson, she also filed a notice of motion, and she argues that certain decisions taken by the Matters Commission in failure to charge her with misconduct is wrong. She didn't further the High Court matter, and we instructed the State Attorney to put the matter down, set the trial date for the High Court to be argued. And the proceedings are postponed today pending the outcome of this matter.
May proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Then Zanzi, you recall that Mr. Zanzi was charged with misconduct, 14 charges of misconduct. I beg your pardon, Chairperson. I see that the Malashlele report is dated 2014. That's a mistake, sir. It should be read that it should read the 29th of February 2016. So we'll be distracted from that. With regard to Sanji, the disciplinary inquiry, well, he took certain decisions also on review, but he didn't proceed with the application in the High Court. Proceedings, the misconduct proceedings, were postponed from the 25th of January to the 29th of March until the 1st of April, and on the 30th of March he decided to admit all the allegations against him. So he was questioned by the presiding officer, and the presiding officer subsequently found him guilty of all 40 charges. And on the 1st of April dissension was in terms of the regulations of British officers in lower courts was postponed for a period of 12 months on certain conditions. Now, the provisional suspension is pending the finalization or an investigation into his fitness of office, but in the meantime appeared on criminal charges of drunken driving and reckless and innocent driving in the lanes of the court. So it's still before the commission. We recommend that his provisional suspension be extended in terms of the finalization of this criminal matter against him. Thank you, Chair. I'll leave my colleague to address you on the other two matters.
Thank you, Chairperson. The progress report with regards to Mr. Khomo. Criminal charges of corruption are proceeding in the Rensburg Regional Court against Mr. Khomo. After the matter was postponed several times due to Mr. Khomo's legal representative excusing themselves, finally the matter was proceeded with on the 3rd and 4th May, also the 9th and 11th, also has been set down for the 16th to 23rd May. The matter is still partly heard, and it appears that NPA is making progress on the matter. The commission decided to keep in abeyance the misconduct inquiry pending the finalization of the criminal matter, and we request that the provisional suspension be extended.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The progress report regarding Mr. Morake is that after he was convicted on the criminal matter in the regional court in Lichtenberg, he applied for leave to appeal. The leave to appeal proceedings was delayed due to the fact that the record had to be transferred, and during January 2016, they have leave to appeal application was struck from the roll because although Mr. Morake argued that the record was not properly constructed, the presiding officer found that the record has been reconstructed and Mr. Morake is dealing the matter in that he was not in a position to proceed with his application for leave to appeal. The bail was revoked and the 4-year sentence that was imposed on him, Mr. Morake served his sentence in January after the ruling of the court, when the court refused to grant postponement. So the commission, the ethics committee of the Ministers Commission, has recommended to the full commission that Mr. Morake be charged with contravening the resolution after he was he failed to prosecute his appeal. And that matter will serve before the full commission next week Friday. With regards to the pending misconduct inquiry, the matter is almost finalized. The proceedings were adjourned for both parties to serve their heads of argument. And after the presiding officer has received the heads of argument, we will indicate the date on which the judgment will be delivered in this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Members, this is it in front of you. Clarity of. Thank you, Honorable Gilbert George.
Thank you, Chairperson. My only question is with regards to Mrs. Maraglela. The last paragraph, which just indicates that in consultation with the attorney, the date for the hearing to commence was set 11 May, and then on 11 May, the defense requested it postponed. That's a bit more than a year ago. Is there any indication how far the proceedings in the High Court is currently in its progress, and when more or less it can be expected to be finalized? If there's, it's very difficult to say, but do we at least have more or less an indication how far they are with line court proceedings.
Not over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, she filed the application sometimes last year. That's why the misconduct hearing was postponed, pending the outcome of the High Court matter. But she's not furthering this matter, so we requested the state attorney to place the matter on the roll. In the meanwhile, the person giving evidence withdrew, and there is an application or a memorandum recommending another person giving evidence to be appointed, the nominee. If the commission approves next week, then I will proceed consulting with Ms. Malashev, the attorney, on the way forward. And we will try to deal with this matter as soon as possible and on and off, because it's been in for years now.
Thank you, Pavel. Thanks.
So, Chair, I just want to check in terms of the Hormel, Magistrate Hormel's case. Point 2.7 says the Commission noted that the criminal case is complex and at a very sensitive stage. And that's why disciplinary hearing against him is in abeyance at this stage. Maybe I missed it, but if I can just get clarity in terms of that, because it seems he's absconded from his duty. So interesting that it's sensitive and a complex case, if I can just have clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Engelberg. Honourable One.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me thank the President for the Commission of the Magistrate. And my question is, including all of these magistrates, are they still in the... are they paid or do they are suspended? Are they having the payment every month?
You are in charge, aren't you? You are your colour.
That's it. So I just want to just like they have it on Magistrate M.J. Homo. I understand that they are requesting for an extended they want us to them to extend his I want to know what if this committee does not permit the extension not to happen. The other two matters is that, yes, I do understand that this matter is dealt by the intercommittee of the Justice Commission. Most of these issues us is just note and condole. There's nothing that we will do because it's mostly disciplinary issues. I just wanted to read I started on the Homo. After that, yes, I believe we can take note of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Fish.
Chairperson, with regard to the Honourable Miss, I forgot your name, Brana, these reports, it's only Mr. Morocco who has been suspended without pay since he had already been found guilty in a court of law. So the rest are previously suspended from office. With me. It's only Mr. Meraki. That's why we have to deal with these matters, but I have of course they are at liberty to take any proceedings, disciplinary proceedings and administrative actions to the High Court. That's why we want to, and these are opposed, and so I requested the State Attorney to place the matters on the roll because they are at liberty to delay, as our view, the process and resuming of the continuation of disciplinary inquiries against them.
Just a follow up. If you look at these cases, there are very other from 2010, 20 whatever, they are very long. That means the state is caused by the situation. What other alternatives can this commission do to short circuit these cases, because now the state is going at a loss when every day is paying the current person and is paying the person who's out of the office? That's very dangerous. If you look in the economic status of us.
Master, do you want to comment on that?
Chairperson, it's very difficult. They have a right to be represented, legally represented. They of course use, in general, all the excuses to proceed. But the Commission is aware of this. That's why the two matters of Skalkwyk and Holland matter, the Commission directed the proceedings to proceed, to continue the disciplinary inquiries, irrespective of whether the High Court matters pending. But it's the constitutional right. So there's a fine balance which the Commission has to take into account. And we're really endeavouring to finalise these misconduct inquiries against all judicial officers as soon as possible.
I'm not satisfied, person, because if they refer the cases to the state attorney, all of that, but I'm saying they mustn't finish tomorrow, but I'm saying they must try and open up a space to speed up the cases, because if that is the case, that means both the attorney, the lawyers of the suspended people and our lawyers. It's us that we are with, because we're supposed to try to have an out-of-court settlement to finish the issue, because it's a disciplinary agent within the institution. So if we are going to pay people beyond 2 years and not give up, there's no production, what is the issue? Because even if the constitution is there, but the Labor Relations Act, you can consult it. You must have a case, you finish a case, because at the process, the state is losing. That's my standard of argument. Whatever the case is, how the case is contradictory, or how it's placed in terms of the charges, all those issues, I'm saying 10% the commission seek other issues, other ways of trying to finish the cases, because there are more than, others are more than 5 years. And the state, I'm saying, the state is losing in the process.
Thank you, Honorable One. I think the magistrate is listening and is taking note of this. I understand the magistrate against other magistrates. So they have to make sure that they are dealing these cases opportunistically.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We share Honorable Members' concerns. But the problem is the labor law. Magistrates are not employees, so the labor law is not per se applicable to magistrates. But we deal with these matters, and we have the principles of labor law, and we deal with those matters.
Order, Chairperson, I'm aware those are public representatives. My input is saying they can even look how long the case might be given a chance. I'm not saying they are other Labor Relations Act, but there is within that law what can you do in terms of closing the case between the institution and the person concerned. I'm not saying that I will claim that. The thing is that you can compare your statutory, disciplinary procedures and the overall, which is entered in the constitution. What you can do, that's my own suggestion. I'm not going to answer that. I want you, Mr. to understand my very concerned and the image of the fraternity of magistrate within our country. It's not good. It can be given time.
I think I'm saying, want to say something? But I think the matter is also supposed to answer.
Thank you, Chair. Of course, you must. We should get answers, Chair. The question that I posed in regard to the extension, I think you will clarify it. But another matter, Chair, that I think I must dwell in with is the matter that is raised by Honorable Wana. Chair, in terms of the magistrate commission, or the magistrate, magistrate commission, they have what they call this intercommittee that deals with these cases. But yes, we must acknowledge that, of course, smaller they are, but we also expect outcomes out of them. For example, this Mrs. Malafella, the magistrate, I remember this letter came to us, I think, last year. It's coming again. Of course, I support Honorable Anna to say it causes the state. It really causes the state. Now, we must say as a committee, because it is our duty, we must ultimately come once, at least give them the time to say. For example, with this case, it's 2014. There are still cases for 2011. Now we need to give them a mandate. These people, whether should we allow them to carry on prosecution cases for more than 3 years, or whether should we give them stipulated time? Because, for example, you can't have cases for 3 years, and these people are getting paid every year, and they're working. So it's causing the data. I know it is their right in terms of the human rights as such too, but we must also check. Are we not in a disadvantage? Because the more they're suspended, the more we pay them. Why are they not concluding the cases? That's what I'm saying. Because most of these issues, unless if they are criminal cases, but if the issues of disciplines which are internally, why they don't close these issues? So we will say the committee, we would like that the magistrate commission look at this matter and check how soon, what best method they can use in resolving these cases. We can't sit with these cases for more than 2 years. I mean, even next year, if these cases are going to come, it's going to be disappointing. So we will request that at least let this inter committee try to speed up this work and check how soon can they do these cases. Thank you.
Sir, can you proceed and answer other questions, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. With regard to the extension of the suspension, I think this must be a misunderstanding by my colleague. It's not the extension of the suspension. They have already the provision suspended, so the suspension only lapses if this committee, or parliament rather, passes a resolution that it should expire. So he's already been provision suspended because confirmed by parliament is provision suspended pending the finalization of this inquiry to his witness to hold office. Chairperson, and we really take the concerns of the committee at heart, and the commission knows about the delays. The fact of the matter is that the presiding officer, in terms of the act and in terms of the constitution of court ruling in the Van Rooyen matter, the judiciary should discipline the judiciary. So presiding officers are not members from outside. They are appointed judicial officers and magistrates themselves. So they have an uncorked run, regional courts. We know that the backlog is in all the courts. So we use regional courts and magistrates to preside, and also magistrates to be the evidence in these cases. So it's very difficult to set a date in consultation with the accused magistrate and his or her legal representative to continue with all these misconduct inquiries. But the Act also makes provision for that they have to deal with these matters as soon as possible. And that's what we're really trying to do. And like in the inquiry matter, he's delaying his motion application. We have the view, the commission is of the view that he is deliberately delaying the proceeding or the resuming of the misconduct inquiry. That's why the commission directed the presiding officer to proceed in his absence. Well, to proceed. He didn't take heed to that. His attorney was, and his counsel were informed about the date, and the presiding officer ruled that the proceedings be continuous in his absence. And we will hopefully finalize this matter soon. I think I've addressed that issue.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Pertaining to the issue raised regarding the complex matter of Mr. Homo's criminal case, the Commission considered the complexity of the matter when it had to take a resolution on whether or not to keep the misconduct proceedings in abeyance, because the NPA requested that the commission not to proceed with the inquiry while they are still busy with the criminal charge, because of the view that the running of the misconduct hearing as well as the criminal trial might prejudice the state's case. So it is in that context of the complicity in that we could not proceed with the misconduct hearing because we didn't want to have the criminal case be prejudiced.
Mr. Chairman, I just add that the Commission wrote a letter or various letters to the NAPP's office requesting them to proceed without delay when magistrates are charged with a number of offences, to give them those cases preference. And this is happening in the informal matter. But it's very frustrating for us at the Commission to listen to an excuse that I lost my my glasses in the taxi. I cannot read the papers. I cannot cross-examine the witnesses. I cannot even make notes. I can't. It's just very, very frustrating. And we don't want to be seen to be in at the High Court to get the cost of revenges if we cheated or we were procedurally unfair in these hearings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I do understand that you are dealing with people who used to be in the bench and who understand all the politics. You know, it's not an easy thing. Yeah. But nevertheless, let me thank you for coming in the committee. For then we understand how far you went, taking consideration that is raised up by the members. Thank you very much for pressing us. I think we have to say thank you very much. We can tell you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm not undermining your contribution. Just I want to know we have resolved to take note of this report and what is our contribution? Because I wanted to know in regard to this when I said in actual fact it's not you said to me, Magistrate, it is not an extension. But you want us to permit you. Now it's a separate report, Chair. We can't deal with this thing as package because this is a request, a separate request, and the reports of misconduct. Now I just want to know how to conclude on this.
To me, it's just a briefing that we must be in the same, how we say, understand what's going on to this, but the search will come.
Chairman, through you, the committee, in terms of the Act, must hear the suspensions every 3 months so that they can make up their mind if they still want to continue with that suspension, or, in this case, if they want to make a decision to suspend it, they don't have to go to the House. But it's already a suspension, so they're not asking us to approve a continuation of it. It will continue until we say it must end. But the committee can additionally report to the House to say that it is unhappy with what was raised by Honourable Wana and Honourable Mshonga.
Thank you for the question, sir. Thank you very much for that. Thanks. Thank you.
You may leave. You will not receive.
The Chairperson, Honourable Members.
Can you check whether the police is around? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Honourable members, now we are expecting a briefing by the Department of Police on the proclamations of terrorist organizations. Thank you.
Good morning, sir, members. I'm Kenan Mutusana Habemadi from South African Police Service Legal and Policy Services in the section Crime Operations.
Good day, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Brigadier Jay van der Walt, and I work with Colonel Mate, but in this case she will be leading the delegation.
Thank you very much. My name is Dumisane Kimbi, Chairperson of Security and Safety, a permanent delegate from the Western Cape.
Morning, Brigadier Antler and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Moses Tigers Mutlanga, permanent delegate from Mpumalanga, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good day. My name is James Mteja, a permanent delegate from KZN.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Bronwyn Engblast, a permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Thank you very much for the supporting staff for the committee. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, sir. This is a briefing to the committee on the listing by Taliban and Al-Qaeda Sanction Committee. In my briefing, we got content. I've got section 1 up to section 14. One is a executive summary, 2 introduction, 3 proclamations, tables, number 4 the United Nations Charter, section 5 what is our constitution saying, number 6 the Apocatara, 7 the UN Security Council Resolution 1989 of 2011, section 8 deals with Al-Qaeda list and 9 Taliban list. Number 10, what are the requirements of listing? 11, section 11 deals with the amendments or updating of the listing. Number 12, what are the effects of listing an individual? And what are the procedures that are followed for delisting an individual? Number 14, the ombudsperson is appointed in terms of the UN resolution, Security Council Resolution 1267 of 1999. Briefly, we can say that it has become imperative that the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban entities that are related to terrorism groups are denied the most facility required in order to commit their terrorist acts against member states. Namely, we addressed this by funding. We denied them access to weapons, and we denied them traveling. They have a travel ban against them. The United Nations Security Council has set up a committee which must list individuals or entities who are part of or related to link with Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Member states of the United Nations are also obliged in terms of Chapter 7 of the UN Charter to give effect to the following on the respect of individuals or entities that are so listed by means of enforcing such individuals' group to asset freeze, travel ban, arms embargo. The Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Act of 2004 provides for the enforcement of these sanctions on individuals and entities by publishing such individuals and entities on the Gazette, a proclamation made by the President, as well as the Parliamentary Oversight and the Security Council has appointed the ombudsman who will be investigating the application for the delisting of individuals or entities. The committee has requested the minister to do the presentation, and that is why I am here. The presentation that we are doing, we are dealing with the permissions that we have published in the Gazette in terms of Section 25, and that we have tabled in terms of Section 26 of the charter. Since the committee was briefed last year, up to now we have tabled 10 proclamations in Parliament. And of interest to the committee, fortunately, we don't have any South African that is listed as a member of this group or any individual resident in the country. So we are still on the safe side. I don't know until when. Article 25 of the United Nations Charter obliges member states to agree and accept to carry out the decisions of the Security Council in accordance with the present charter. Whenever the Security Council has listed an individual, it is our duty to publish that person in the government and it is signed by President. Our constitution, also in terms of Section 231(3), also give us an obligation to do the proclamations in terms of the international agreement that does not need ratification by Parliament. Section 25 of the POCTA Charter, as I've already mentioned, we have to do the notification by President in respect of this entity as identified by United Nations Security Council. And this must be made by proclamation in the Gazette and other appropriate means of publication. We give notice that the Security Council of the United Nations have made this listing on their system under Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter. And these entities and individuals that are identified, as soon as possible, we have to do the publication. Parliamentary oversight, as I'm sitting in front of the committee, Section 26, every proclamation issued under Section 25 shall be tabled in Parliament for its consideration, decision, and Parliament may thereupon take the steps necessary. So, it is our duty to come and brief the members as requested. Before 2011, we had one listing, both Taliban and Al-Qaeda, whether it's entity or it's individual. But 2011, Resolution 1989, of 2011 brought up the distinction between the two. We have the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda listing entities and individuals that are listed separately. So we no longer have one listing. We have the Taliban and we have the Al-Qaeda. But of interest, we don't normally get much of Taliban. We get a lot on Al-Qaeda. It's like the Al-Qaeda is the one that is very active. Or maybe Taliban has already decided to join Al-Qaeda, seeing that they are overshadowing them. So the Al-Qaeda list was established by the committee in terms of Resolution 1267 of 1989. This deals with Al-Qaeda individuals, as well as Al-Qaeda entities. And they have their own website under the UN Security Council. So it is my duty. Every morning, I must sit down and check if they have done the listing. Although DECO will send me what they normally do, but will normally come later. But it is my duty that every morning when I enter, I must go into the UN website to check if there is any listing. And then the Taliban list was established by Resolution 1988 of 2011, individuals and entities. Like I said to the members, Taliban, we don't get much. We get a lot on Al-Qaeda. I think last time we received any listing on Taliban, I think it was 2014. Since then, we haven't received any. But Al-Qaeda, we receive every month. Listing of individuals. Member states are encouraged to submit listing of any individuals that they suspect can be a suspect of law, can be of this group of terror. But before they can list an individual, they need to send a request to the individual's original state. After they have made their investigation through media, through intelligence, this has to be sent to the member states of this individual to know that, that they are intending to list. And if that's the case, the individual can also make a representation. Of interest, we once had a situation in South Africa on Dr. Dockert that they wanted to list him as a member of Al-Qaeda. The information was sent to South Africa and he was also given the opportunity to raise his consent, to be given a chance to state his case that is not related to that. So members must do a thorough investigation, intelligence that we have in the country, that really the member, their member, this member is a member of this terrorist group. The United Nations Security Council Resolution 1735 of 2006, whenever this member has to be listed, the member state must provide a statement of case in support of the proposed listing, and it must include specific findings demonstrating the association of this individual to this grouping. The supporting evidence, like I already said, we have our intelligence that will guide us, they will advise us about the dealings of this individual. The statement case must also be released for part of other member states to check if they also have such information on this individual that is to be listed. We know that sometimes we have member states that they will go all out to say their members are not they are not engaging in this terrorist matter, they know. But it's up to the Security Council to decide after getting the information. There is a standard form that has to be followed when the listing is made to the committee, and there's also different forms of when you list an individual and when you list an entity. You don't use the same forms. There are different forms. Like I said, these are two groups. Even if there are two groups, the forms that we use for entities and for individuals is not the same. And if the listing is approved by the committee after receiving the request from member states, they update their listing. Like I said, every day I have to go in the system and check if there's any amendments or approved or delisted. The secretariat, there's a permanent secretariat for the committee that sits and look at these requests that are coming from the individuals. The secretariat is sending this and receive it, will be submitted to the committee. We previously had a problem with the Security Council. They used to list members, to list individuals or entities without the narratives. Fortunate enough, nowadays we don't have that. Whenever they list a person, they list a narrative that we can do. Because previously we used to have a hide from the committee to say we take long to do the listing. But we could not do the listing, we take long to do the proclamation. But we could not do the proclamations without the narratives to know why is this person being listed. Because the narratives, they will give us the person's date of birth and even a name. and then what is it that he is doing to say that. So previously they used to list only the current since 2008, and then only the narratives will come in 2020. And then when we do that, we'll be getting a hiring from the committee, but at least now it has improved. Whenever they do the listing, the narratives are also there. We also will be doing with the description of the effect of listing and the procedure of delisting a person. Member states, in accordance with the domestic law or international, they need to notify the individual or entity, as I've already alluded, that there is a relevant information on listing them. And the office of the ombudsman handles the delisting, where the individual will send a request that he or she wants to be removed from the list. That is the duties of the ombudsman. And if an individual is also listed, the information is sent to Interpol, so that can also be put on their red list. I might look confused when I put black list. So the amendment and updating of the listing. Whenever the committee is provided with information from member states of listing or delisting, whether it is from the regional, the international organization, the monitoring team will be giving information and will advise the committee on the actions that need to be taken to list or to list an individual. What effect does it cause for listing an individual? First and first, we freeze the assets of individuals. We hit them hard on the pocket, and we prevent them from getting access to firearms, and they are put on the register, travel ban. They cannot move around. They can stay wherever they are. Delisting. An individual, when he or entity requesting delisting, will submit a request for delisting to the office of the ombudsperson under resolution, United Nations Resolution 1267 of 1999. Or the delisting can be submitted by a member state requesting that an entity in his country or one of the members be delisted. The chairman will circulate the request, including appropriate in information, to the monitoring team that is dealing with the delisting, together with the office of the ombudsman. And the request will be placed in front of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda committee to consider and submit their views. After due consideration, the committee will decide whether to delist, or whether to amend, or whether to approve, or to add information on an individual. If there is an objection from committee members, the delisting will not happen. It will remain as it is. The delisting will also happen when somebody died, like Osama bin Laden was put on list, even though we don't know if he really died. We cannot prove because we don't have a body. So the ombudsman's duties is to gather information, with confidential, by means of dialogue with the monitoring team, and reporting comprehensive confidential reports to the committee, the listing committee, and the monitoring team, and the ombudsperson. Role will provide the committee with an analysis of the underlying information of an independent assessment to the efficiency of the case. Chairperson, thank you very much for borrowing me your ears. I hope my early voice didn't...
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you very much. Do you want to add something?
No, thank you, Chairperson. My panel has said everything that that needed to be said. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable members, we want to clarity from this report. Honourable Sanga,
no, James, nothing. No, baby. Thank you, Chair. No, let's appreciate the briefing by the SAPS, particularly the general and the brigadier. Because I remember last we had with these issues. I would like to have two or three countries, Chair. One is the issue of the process that the person should follow if he is being listed as a terrorist. What process should he follow to be delisted? Why I'm asking this question? I will read it, Chair, because you spoke about it. It's no longer a secret. We are now ruling the country. Like Tony again, he went to America, he was told he's a terrorist. He was told he's a terrorist, he can't end it. 2 years ago, we had some former members of MK whom we wanted to integrate them into your public order policy. Now they had to go through this vetting process. And they were told that some of them are still listed as terrorists. I'm telling you, in our country, now Canada saying in our country we don't have such. But at Witbank, two or three of my colleagues, I know of them, they are still listed as terrorists. We are still bargaining. Because the Minister of Security, the MEC in the province who is in charge of public policing, should issue certificate for them as law enforcement. Now, we can't issue those certificates because they are still listed as terrorists. So we want to know how they are cleared that. The other matter, which is for interest. I just wanted advice. What are the chances for us as Africa to withdraw from this? Just an advice. To withdraw from the United Nations, but whatever. No, George, don't mind. The other one. I don't want to be arrested as a terrorist in the country. The other one, the ombudsman. Before I go to the ombudsman, the committee. It was the committee from 1998 up to 2011. When do we review the committee? Or who establishes the committee? When will it be re-established or is a permanent committee?
Just on that committee.
So we have this committee. We just all in the committee sitting there.
That deals with this thing.
So as we inform what's happening with this committee, I can't see that we intervene and re-establish this committee. The issue of the ombudsman. Who appoints the ombudsman? Is it the act or what? What is his term of office? What are the requirements? Thank you.
Thank you. Can I put that there? Please. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Member, I forgot to say this, and when I was sitting with the ELO, my divisional commissioner, yesterday, and he was laughing when I was saying something to him, and said, you know, we've got a problem. When you say the delisting of a person, somebody went to the United Nations, and I was going to say the members states will agree, but the United Nations they don't. So when they refused, you remember the Tokyo Sokhalet issue? They refused to enter the UN. He is not listed by the UN. It's not the United Nations. That one. That one is not the United Nations. It's the United States of America, U.S. It's not the UN, it's the U.S. So we are unable to address that one. It's a big issue. It's a really big issue. They don't remove our members on their system. And I think you can remember that Nelson Mandela also was also still in their list as a terrorist. So we've got a little bit of problem with the UN, not the UN. The value of members in the province that they are still listed, I am dealing with expungement of previous records. I can give you my details. Please send them to my office. It's not supposed to be like that. Section 271 of the Criminal Procedure Act, Section 271B of the Criminal Procedure Act deals with those people who were listed in terms of the old regime acts. They don't work. I don't know how does it come, because that, those things are in the archives. I remember I had three gentlemen that were in the Western Cape. He was working for Transnet. He had the same problem. Then it was also picked up. I handled it. So that one, I put it in my, that I will handle it. Please send them to me. I will give you my details. Thank you. Wow. Like I said yesterday to Jamal Malika, we are no longer in the Security Council. We are no longer there. When we were there, we had a say. Right now, we are not there. So the ombudsperson is appointed by the committee of the Security Council. Yes. So the Security Council will change if we go back. And we were not popular when we were there, because we were fighting with the U.S. So they were very happy when our term ended. So that's why he is appointed. Thank you.
Thank you, President. With regards to the question about the withdrawal from the agreement and also the intervention and the re-establishment of that committee, that doesn't fall within our pay grade as line functionaries. But what I can say, we can't really comment on the withdrawal, honourable member. But what I can say to the person is that this agreement, as opposed to the ICC, the International Criminal Court agreement, this agreement actually assists and State Security Agency with possible concerns that we may have about our own internal security. So I think from a practical viewpoint, from a police and State Security Agency viewpoint, I think it would be wise to remain within this fold.
Thank you, Honourable Moana, I want to say something.
No, what I can comment on Jefferson is that US is a bullying type of a superpower in all respect. For instance, US will make all the effort to understand hourly what is this highlighted state doing. And as South Africans, we need to come closer to each other so that we can identify the enemy, even if it's within us. This issue of plus minus terrorism, it certainly needs a lot of discussion, because identification at some stage is not an easy and straightforward issue. I don't understand seriously. At some stage, although US is a superpower, they will go to the UN and put their interest. And after they've done that, they will protect their interest to see. So, I appreciate the input that you've given us. But we feel the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, most of them, we are not given the background of their anger. I'm just articulating in a sober and collective understanding. But what is propaganda issue doing will be what I can say, the person, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Alwana. Want to say something, Kenneth, just stop this and you can call.
Thank you, Shepherd. Adding on what Brigadier said, that it is good for us to be sitting there. I just don't sit and do the proclamation. Every month we meet as interdepartmental committee dealing with counterterrorism. So every month we get requests from the UN or sometimes from the US wanting certain information. So half the time when we sit there, we find them about certain listing that they want to do. They will send millions of questions that we have to deal with in the committee. So it really helps us because sometimes we see our members being listed unnecessarily.
Thank you very much, Colonel.
Thanks, man. I'm not the honorable man. Of course, we need to give it as it is, but I must say this. The USA that request information from yourself, they never sign any proclamations. And they are terroring our people. And I think nothing stops them because they never signed any proclamation. They are safe. They can protect their country. They do have anti-terrorist strategy. They can defend their country themselves. Also, I'm just helping you that we can, if there are chances, we can withdraw and defend ourselves. Let me take it.
Thank you, Honorable Sanga. I think we have adopted some two reports here. The nomination for the National Council for Correctional Services. Is there anyone?
Chairperson, I just want to ask you, and I refer you to two rules of the NCRP. The first rule is Rule 1712D. You can write it down if you want to. And the other rule is Rule 1024, which says that, a minority report can't be tabled, but that the committee's report must reflect minority reports or minority views. So I would just suggest that this report reflects that we had a dissenting view with regards to the fourth category on the grounds that the DA was not completely or entirely convinced that Mr. Nkobo was in fact the best candidate. I would just like, in terms of those two rules of the council, that dissenting view also to be reflected. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable. I don't think it's a problem of reflecting that, because it's part of the deliberation that we have in the fund. But that we have here.
Members, just I foresaw that this might occur, so I just quickly wrote down something. I just need your view on the matter. So in this paragraph after category experts in community justice systems, and then Mr. N. Koko, and then I've inserted a paragraph that reads, the committee further recommended the minister consider increasing the number of candidates with expertise in the community justice systems category. So that's the first issue I need members to consider. And the second one is, the minority view held that there were candidates other than Mr. Nkobo from the applicants who were better suited to advise the community justice systems category and requested the ministry to reconsider Mr. Nkobo's appointment. The committee, however, did not support the minority view as Mr. Nkobo brought additional skills with regard to foreign nationals in prison in South Africa that other candidates were not able to provide.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with the first, recommendation, which said
we agreed and whatever. But coming to Mr. Mkopo, it should just be saying, on the nomination of Mr. Mkopo, the minority registered their objection, exactly. It's as simple as that, not this other long story.
Chairperson, if I may. In the first place, I would request that there at least be an indication of who and on behalf of who the objection was raised. In other words, who this minority is that we're referring to. So in other words, I would like to say that there is a dissenting view, let me finish, that there's a dissenting view from the Democratic Alliance, because I made that objection on behalf of the Democratic Alliance. And secondly, I would like the ground of my objection to be noted. My grounds of objection was that it is our view that Mr. Mkopo is not sufficiently qualified and that there are better candidates. That must be reflected in the report. Who made the objection and on which grounds? Otherwise it serves absolutely no purpose. And there are two rules in the NCOP that actually say that it must be included. It's 1712D, you can write it down, and 1024.
I think the best thing is to, as we are going to, even ourselves, we are not going to say everything that is discussed here. Then committee, which is the majority of the members, supported the list which is coming from the minister, and the minority, which is the DA, rejected the name of Prince Sorenso. We are not going to cover everything.
And if you want to
me today, when we are discussing, and not in the minutes.
There's no purpose for me being here.
I agree with you that once we said we objected, it means they are going to be on the debate. They will raise themselves, not us.
Honourable members, don't want to waste your time. Sorry for to be. Can we adopt the proposed by the minister, the names that are proposed by the minister, including Mr. M. Kompo?
Yeah, that's we acknowledge and support the proposed different.
Thank you.
There was an amendment made by Honourable Tobijan with regards to say the amendment was considered by Wilson Secretary with regards to the additional name that was supported by PC. Just want to get the summary of sort of what are we moving, or the total summary of the report, the amended summary of the report. We don't want to. So, I didn't get the amended summary of the Honourable Tobijan, because is he amending the total amendment that was submitted by the Secretary, or is that amended one portion, the latter portion that was speaking to the issue of Mkopo? Mkopo. Yeah, that's clarity on that one. So that what are we moving, the total report?
Yes.
My own analysis and subject to correction, I thought this last analysis which was updated by Oshi was around the issue of the fourth category. So there are all the other things, even with minority, we agree with the name. The only name, that the only category that minority doesn't object is category 4 of Mr. Mkopo.
One other thing, there's another issue. NA added another name. So, Koshi amended the issue of the minority report. So, I would agree as a city committee with the addition that was made by the PC. Remember in the presentation that the deputy minister presented it, this is a list that you see. The report is in front of me. It doesn't speak to what the deputy minister has presented to us with the proposal of the PC.
I think, Manipule, it was a discussion when I'm not talking for the Coach Medical, when a challenge coming from
or George, saying that is Ngobo, but this Ngobo is not a suitable person. And then I think Jose said, okay, to cut this thing, why don't we approve Ngobo and let the department get another person, if that is the case, of if it's the case. Then after that there was a discussion, knowing that, which was submitted by the deputy minister, I'm trying to cut
him. I just want to ask the president, we need to go to another meeting. There was a summary that was presented by the secretary. Okay, that's why I'm saying that the student might not confuse myself. I want to be confused. Because what you're saying, when you explain what Jose has said during the meeting, there was a summary that was inserted in this report. So I want clarity, because Jose amended certain things from the summary that was inserted in this report. Okay. That's one that, what are we adopting with regards to the amended summary that is here on the report? Thank you, sir. Through you, sir, that the distance can summarize, can say through you, sir.
So it reads, the committee further recognizes the minister considers increasing the number of candidates with expertise in the community justice systems category, which is category 4. That's it. So can I just have clarity on the minority view? Are we just saying on the matter of this incorporated democratic alliance basis that the objection to the point?
Yes.
I think it's fine the way it's phrased it, but we must question ourselves. We do not want to put names who spoke what to what. Because what the BA job market wants us to do, we are not supporting to any political party. We are one committee here. Whatever we do, BA knows that George Manakis is here, who represents the BA. Now, whatever minority view that is raised, it is raised by them. So we can't put names here for performance assessment.
Honourable Member, you are taking this name as it is, Honourable Mshanga, who is then separate?
Yes,
including Kobo. Or M.M. Kobo.
Second, sir.
Thank you very much. Seconded. Thank you. Thank you. Another thing is consideration of the proclamation of the terrorist organization. We any proposal for adoption of this? Honorable Wanna, is then seconded. Honorable M. Chetwa. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sir? Honorable members, thanks to 1-2 minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the 11th of May 2016. The minutes is, if you can attend in front of you, page 1, page 2, page 3, and then page 3. Page 4 is that the meeting closed at 11:08. Then any proposed adoption? Honorable Mtetwa, seconder, or Rwanda. Thank you very much, honorable members. Keeping you. Thank you very much, Jose. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Manipule. Thanks for supporting us. The meeting is adjourned.